Yes, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Yes, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light all around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see.
Praise the Lord, church.
And the light that shines in my darkest night.
Hallelujah.
Will safely lead me, oh, if it was
the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad for a lighthouse this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request, if you will. Here's a prayer request that someone turned in. Please pray that the county can get the money necessary for the school budget. At least 13 people at Happy Valley Elementary alone could lose their job. So let's pray that the Lord would just intervene in that situation. We know that God, He owns it all anyway, don't He? Amen. So let's pray for that request this morning. Please pray for the family of a co-worker, Wayne Davis. Their brother passed away suddenly on Thursday. Also, Sue Brown and Connie Hensley, both suffering from cancer. So let's pray for those needs today. Brother John Sacker wants to thank everyone for their prayers. That he says that that's what's brought him through. He's doing much better. Looking forward to being here next month. So we want to praise the Lord for touching Brother John. Brother Baker says to please continue to remember Sister Christine in prayer. She's home in a lot of pain. She needs a miracle from the Lord. So let's pray for that need today. We'll remember Sister Janet Lehman in prayer. She's at the hospital this morning with a reaction to medicine. Also remember Brother Caleb Atkins, who just went home from the emergency room with an allergy problem and couldn't breathe. They have him on steroids, but it'll be a while before they take effect. So let's pray for those needs today.
Andrew Butt sends this in. I would like for you to pray for my brother Richard from Fort McMurray, Alberta, who has been recently diagnosed with colon cancer. He has to go for more tests on Monday to see if it has spread to other parts of his body. Please pray that the test will be negative. Thank you very much. Brother Derek Butt sends that in. Please pray. Here's an unspoken prayer request for my sister Joyce and her family. Brother George Hamlin sends that in, so let's pray for that need today. Sister Deanna Glenn says, we are selling my parents' home and personal things this coming Thursday. Please pray that we have a good sale for comfort for my parents. So let's remember that this morning. An unspoken prayer request, my son's salvation, and pray for his addiction to drugs, that the Lord would deliver him from that. Well, we know God's able to do that. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, aren't you glad we're serving a God that's more than able to meet every need among us? All the needs here in our assembly, different needs, Sister Natalie and all the requests that was turned in last night, we certainly want to remember them. Brother Harry, sing that second verse to that song, if you will. I thank God for the lighthouse. Brother Daniel, if you would get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests, sing it, buddy.
Now everybody that lives around us, they say tear that message lighthouse down. 'Cause the big ships don't preach.
Oh, that's right.
There's no use.
Oh, that's right.
Standing around. But then my mind goes back to my stormy dark life.
Hallelujah.
When just in time I saw this evening.
Yes, we did.
The light from that old lighthouse. It's still.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Yes, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown.
Amen. It's good to be in God's house today, isn't it? Amen. Good to have my son Stephen with us in service today. He slipped in for Mother's Day. We just appreciate it so much. Let's all pray together over these requests. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to be in your presence today, knowing, God, that you say in your word that you'll never leave us, never forsake us. We know, God, that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, we know the heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you mean to us. Thank you for this day that set aside to honor mothers. God, not only may we honor this day, but every day. Heavenly Father, we pray now for this service today. Pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will just take charge. God, anoint the service and the servant. God, give them the words that you have on speaking to us. And God, now we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, every one of them that was called out here this morning, we pray, God, that you visit every one of them, that you touch to heal, to save and deliver. God, for those over the internet, in the tape, whoever they may be, God, fellowship hall, may your hand stretch forth right now, Lord Jesus. God, take complete charge of this service. God, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. And just to take this opportunity to wish all of our moms Very, very happy Mother's Day to you. Give them all a nice hand this morning if you will. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. We're a New Testament church. And we're part of a great church that's rising up. We ain't all of it, but thank God we're part of it. Somebody say, I'm part of it. Shake hands and ask them this, are you part of it too? You part of it too? Better be. Play some of it. Play it.
Church rising up,
rising up,
we're rising up,
rising up,
we're
Testament restored church.
Hallelujah.
Rising up.
We're rising up. Oh, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise.
Stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me. Amen. And we thank God we're part of it, don't we? Boy, that's about as weak as I ever heard of amen in my life. Some of you don't know what you're happy about. Are you glad you're a part of this great move that God's doing in the end time? Somebody say, I'm glad. Somebody say, I'm really glad. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise if you love Him.
When the storms of life are raging, the storms of life are raging.
Stand by me. When the world is tossing me.
Oh, yes.
Like a ship upon the sea. Stand by me.
I believe you'll do it too.
Stand.
Oh, in the midst of tribulation,
Lord, please stand by me.
Hallelujah.
When the host of hell
assails,
and I know my strength begins to fail.
Of my falls and my failures,
stand by me.
Oh, in the midst of my falls and my failures,
Lord, I know you'll still stand by me. 'Cause when
misunderstood, oh, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. Now in the midst of persecution,
stand by me.
Oh, sing it to him, church. Of persecution,
Lord, stand by me.
Hallelujah.
When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way,
oh, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. Now when we're growing old and feeble,
Lord, stand by me. Father, stand by me.
Oh, when we're growing old and feeble,
Lord, please stand by me.
Hallelujah.
Jordan,
thou leading all
with all my heart.
Lord, stand by me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. You can be seated today, Sister Dionne, if you'd come give us a song this morning. Brother Harry, I'll be singing after she sings. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord this morning. Good to be in church, isn't it? Amen.
Lord, I need you more than the earth needs the rain to help me deal with all the pain that life can put me through. You more than the earth needs the sun to win this race that I must run and be all you want me to. Surrender as your bride in all I am to you. Lord, I want you to see yourself revealed in me, the bride and groom in you. And I know you want that too. I want you, Lord, I need you more than the earth needs the rain to help me deal with all the pain that life can put me through. I need you more than the earth needs the sun to win this race that I must run and be all you want me to. I need you, Lord, I love you. It's because you first loved me. No greater love has ever been than what you gave that day. I love you, and I long to see your face, tell about your amazing grace, and all you brought me through. Help me deal with all more than the earth needs the sun to win this race that I must run and be all you want me to.
Joe, can you look up I Will Rise? Y'all help me sing this song. We've sung it a few times lately. We've got a promise. And I heard Brother Bram say the other day about talking about the flowers and the trees, and he said when they serve God's purpose, they have a promise of a resurrection. And I thought, Lord, help me to serve your purpose. There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He has risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light. And the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won.
Test 1, 2. Work better when you got them on, don't they? Let's turn today, if you would, to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. I certainly want to wish all of our mothers happy Mother's Day. Certainly shouldn't be the only day in the week that they got an acknowledgement, should it? I believe if we really understood the position of a godly mother and what a mother can do, do you realize just that one principle could turn this entire nation around? If real women really stood on principles and were real mothers, not just preachers and deacons and trustees, but just real, real mothers, and be their position of what God wants them to be. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. I wish to speak to you today on Enoch the stonemason. Enoch the stonemason. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word. We so appreciate the opportunity again that we can come together to assemble in your presence, realizing, Lord, that we are a privileged people that have been called unto you. We know it's not through our own goodness, any merits that we would be able to accomplish or achieve. We ask your help, your guidance, your blessings on the service today. Lord, we don't want it to be a protracted meeting of a gathering together and we show some new clothes we bought or talk about a new business deal that we made this week. But we desire to receive something out of this service that will make us more like you. People that are more surrendered to your will and more consecrated. Help us today, Father. May you take your word and speak to us. Anoint me, Lord, but anoint the people as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to read, I think we read this last Sunday, but I'd like to read it to you again. In verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the word took is to take, get, fetch, lay hold of, seize, marry, take a wife, take possession of. And we know that God, in writing the Bible, he had many things that was written out very plain and very simple. And yet there was other things that was written in such a way that the average person could just pick it up like reading a newspaper and totally understand everything that God wanted to do. God had his plan, his program written down through the ages, and he hid it many times in symbols. Jesus actually thanked the Father that he had done it this way when he was here, which might seem peculiar to us because we'd think, why in the world would Jesus thank God that he had hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent? But yet that's part of God's character, and we must take it that it's that way. I want you to notice this in the infallibility of God's spoken word. Brother Bram says, Enoch before the world, the antediluvian destruction, if he wanted to show a type, how could he do it? He didn't want Enoch to die. He had to make a translation for him. He had to make a translation for him. God had to do it in order to make a type out of Enoch. Now, there was no written Bible, of course, at this time. So God wanted to take this man's life and write a type out of his life. But Enoch was living in quite a terrible day as far as the condition of the world. But yet the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, which means to remove or change, to transpose two things, one of which is put in the place of another. To transfer, to change, to go or pass over. So Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we know that Enoch walked with God, as the Bible tells us here, but we know also the Bible says that Noah walked with God. There were different people that the Bible actually uses this term, that they walked with God, but we know that there are walks of degrees by which a person can walk with God, and in the light that they're walking, they can please God to all that they know. But Enoch walked with God in a degree that Noah could not touch, or many of the other people that have lived down through time. But Enoch wasn't just a passive sort of fellow that just lived his own type of life and never really bothered anybody. And, you know, he just believed things that was kind of different and peculiar. And everybody just knew he was different. He was kind of a hermit type of a guy. Everybody just left him alone. Enoch was a man that was a very different sort of a man. Now, he was a man who prophesied in a twofold way, prophesied of the coming judgment of God. And he prophesied of the coming of the saints with the Lord. But yet Enoch was also a man that understood many, many things about the heavenlies. He was a man that understood many things about the earth, about the moon, about the sun, about geometry, about algebra. He understood many things about the principles of life and the principles of God and how it all tied together. Now, he was not just a man that was going to be charged with being a type to leave this world, but committed to this man was going to be something totally different that had never been done before, and that the word of God would be translated from thoughts of God, those things which was on God's heart, it would actually be translated and become visible into a structural form. Now, this man is going to be totally different than Noah would be. He's going to be totally different than any other man that's ever been on the earth. Committed to his charge is going to take the Bible and to be able to put the Bible in the second manifested form that God would have it upon the earth. Now, you're already looking at me starry-eyed. Now, listen, whenever God wanted to relate it this way, notice how Brother Bram says it. The first Bible that was ever written was written in the skies, in the zodiac. Starts off with the Virgin, how he come first, ends up with Leo Lion, the second coming, he's writing his first Bible. The second Bible was written by Enoch and put in the pyramid. So it was written by Enoch. So what does that mean? So it means that Enoch actually rewrote the Bible and put it on skins or something like that and stuffed it in a corner over here and a corner over there and one over here and buried so much of it over here. That was not what Enoch was actually doing. But Enoch is going to convey the mystery of redemption, the mystery of the bride, the mystery of the king, the mystery of the seven steps going up to the king's chamber, the arc of degree, all these different things. He's going to hide the mystery of all of that in the measurements of this great, great building that is going to stand there, which was built before the flood. It has been a memorial. It withstood the flood. It withstood many things that's come upon the earth. Napoleon looked at the same thing. Moses saw the great pyramid. Napoleon come and stood as he looked there and had his scientists to try to come and understand it. Many great British scientists, many scientists from all over the world have tried to understand it, yet within it contains the Bible. It's not just a laboratory. It's not just a place of scientific research, but it's a place which holds the mysteries of God. Right. The second Bible was written, he says, was written by Enoch and put in the pyramid. The third Bible was written, the last one, which is this one. Brother Brown indicates his Bible. He passed it. God always does things in threes. God is perfect in threes. He's perfect in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's perfect in justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's perfected in threes. We are in his making. So we are perfected in three: soul, body, and spirit. Our bodies controlled of nerves, blood, and of cells, three, all perfected in the three. So we're all perfected in three. So God had three Bibles. The first one, of course, was written in the stars. And then the second one, God was now coming to some sort of a dispensational change by which he's showing his program on the earth. So he deals with a man which is a prophet. This man
man will be able to lay out the geometric designs inside this pyramid, the very shape, the place that will be on the earth, the location on the earth, the size that will be, the pyramid cubit, the pyramid inches, the all these things that's inside of that will convey a story of God and a story of redemption. Now we know that God cannot write one Bible and it say one thing, write a second Bible and it say another, and write a third Bible and it say another. They've all three got to say the same thing. Then when those Bibles are then expressed, it will live out saying the same thing that what's been written. Wouldn't it be? It would be exactly the same thing. So then God had something in his mind. Look at this in the Ark in 1955. He said the great pyramid that Enoch built, the last chamber's gone through, ready for the king's chamber now. He said the coming of the Lord right in the top of the keystone, and all the calendar of astronomy points right straight. The stars are declaring it as they did the first time. Now watch this again in adoption. He says, I've often made this remark and said God made three Bibles. The first one, he put it in the sky, the zodiac. Did you ever see the zodiac? What's the first figure in the zodiac? The virgin. When the last figure is the zodiac, Leo, the lion, he come the first time through the virgin, and the second time as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He made the next one in the pyramid back in the days of Enoch when they made the pyramid. They measure them, I don't understand it, but to the wars where they stoop on their knees for so long and can measure the distance of wars. You know where they measure to now? Plumb across the king's chamber. Now, this is not just a tomb. That some of you think, well, it's just the tomb for the pharaohs of Egypt, and it was actually built by the Egyptians, and it was actually, it was really nothing to do with Enoch. It was nothing to do with us. No, 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 my friend. You are totally wrong. As a matter of fact, it has been proven over and over again. The Egyptians at this time of the world's history were not as advanced to even understand geometry. This was not made under the counsel of the Egyptians. The Egyptians, 1,000 years after the flood, still did not understand pi and square and all of that. Because they are the descendants of Ham. He is the father of Egypt. But this was built under the inspiration of someone who understood the heavenlies. As a matter of fact, this man understood it so close that he caught the degree of the arc of the earth, the curvature of the earth, and embedded that secret inside the chambers of the Great Pyramid. So there must be a significance to you and I if it's the second Bible. Now, what kind of Christian would I think you would be if you said, I don't need the Bible. I don't even care about it. I think there's something wrong with you. Well, it'd be the same attitude toward the stars and it'd be the same attitude toward the pyramid then. Because there's something in there that it holds a great, great thing for us as the people of God. So I'd like to look at the Lord would help us today on some of the points about the pyramid. I realize some of it will be just knowledge and some of it you won't remember till you drive through Wendy's and get you a Frosty and it won't mean no more to you than nothing. But yet for a little bit, you just try to listen and maybe you'll be able to get some understanding of it. The Great Pyramids, I decided to put this up where you could read if you'd like to read along with me. The Great Pyramid sets in the center of gravity of the continents. It lies in the exact center of all the land area of the world. Now notice where this lays. It lays in the center of the continents, in the center of the gravity of the continents, in the exact center of all the land area of the world, dividing the earth's land mass into approximately four quarters. The north-south axis, 31 degrees east of Greenwich, is the longest land meridian. East-west axis, 30 degrees north, is the longest land parallel on the globe. There's obviously only one place that the longest land lines of the terrestrial earth can cross. It is at the Great Pyramid. Now notice then, so all these land lines, the four corners of the earth, they would all cross, and the pyramid sits right in the middle of where they cross. So where they cross is a story to be understood. In the cross. Now, you think then that they just went out there and Enoch, you know, just eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Where this rock throws is where I will go. You think it just said some kind of rhyme? I'm going to throw this over my back, and wherever it goes, I'm going to throw it, and we'll build this great big peculiar. Ah, that ain't the way my daddy does things. The average height of land, sea level, Miami being the low, the Himalayas being the high, can be measured only by modern day satellites and computers. Happens to be the same as the height of the pyramid. So we'd take the low and we would take the high, and then we would find the middle part of that, the average land height, and it just so happens that the Great Pyramid, now not all the other pyramids, the step pyramids, the ones in Chile and the Andes and all that, but the Great Pyramid is that average height of how this works. Now watch, also the curvature designed in the faces of the pyramid exactly matches the radius of the earth, not known until modern day technology was available. Unless, of course, you're talking to the man who made it. He's always ahead of radar, you see. The measurement used by the builders, the pyramid cubit, when divided into the base length of the Great Pyramid, is 365.242 pyramid cubits, precisely the number of days in one year. A line drawn on a map from the apex of the pyramid to Bethlehem, the angle of the ascending passage, and crosses the Red Sea, and most likely the point where the Israelites crossed departing Egypt. I love reading stuff like this. It just makes me know how big my father really is. A line drawn on a map from the south, from the apex of the pyramid, at the angle of the ascending passage, crosses Mount Sinai. The orientation of the Great Pyramid is within 3/4 of an inch of true north. A modern magnetic compass is usually far less accurate. So there must have been a man on the earth. Now you realize there's different theories and different opinions of what happened. This, some folks actually think that it was UFOs that come to the earth, and it was aliens, and it was all kinds of other things that dropped down this, you know. But aren't you glad we have a message that lets us know who it actually was? But then you think, why would God go to all of this trouble and cause man to go to all of this labor and to be able to maintain such a structure? It must have had such value to God that God would allow it to be built in such a way, being the only living, or the only remaining, I should say, the only remaining thing of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Glory. The ancient Egyptians called it the Pillar of Enoch. Now, I find this very peculiar, since Enoch was not an Egyptian. Why would they call one of their pride and joys, supposedly, a Pillar of Enoch? Why is it that it does not show in the hieroglyphics and the pictures and all that, does not show Egyptians building it? Why is it that there's no affinity in the workmanship or the labor, or the craftsmen, or the artisans, being Egyptians, who designed and brought such a thing? Very simple. It wasn't Egyptians. Just like it wasn't Baptists who designed salvation. It wasn't Pentecostals. It wasn't me and you. It was a great designer. He's the one who designed salvation. He's the one who made the rapture. Then he ought to know how to get in it. Amen. Glory. Notice this. I found this very interesting. One man who measured and studied the Great Pyramid was a structural engineer by the name of David Davidson, early in the last century. This agnostic set his mind to disprove all the pyramid theories, you know, all the different things that people are saying, well, it means this, it means that, something to do with God. When he completed his task, his conclusion was that the pyramid was truth in structural form. Pretty good for an unbeliever. Do you understand, friend, that that's what the real body of Christ is? It's truth in structural form. Can't you see why that the word, the message of the hour must be more than Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said. It must be the truth in structural form in the way we live and the way we walk and the way we move. What is that? That is truth that is being translated into structural form and behavior. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Truth in structural form, that it established the Bible as the inspired work of God. How in the world could you ever come up with that idea? Did he go in and find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, 1st and 2nd Corinthians? He found that wrote all over the wall? No, he found it by using a measuring tape. Algebra and geometry. He found God in that pyramid by seeing measurements and scale and time. Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Great Pyramid has been called the Bible in stone. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So we know then that the pyramid is not just a pile of rocks, right? Now, a carpenter might be able to lay some stone. Brother Dave's a good carpenter and other brothers that are carpenters, no doubt they can lay some stone. But there's a difference in a carpenter who can lay a little stone and a stonemason. Now, they've made it much easier in this day to lay stone, being cultured and all that, where they come with pretty simple directions and you can stick it here and do this and do that and the other. That doesn't really require the ability, though, of a stonemason. Now, many men are suitable for preachers of religion in this modern day. But it takes a real stonemason to build children into a house of God to make them constituents for a rapture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, friend, we don't need some preachers, you know, that's just builders and can stick a little stone here and stick a little stone there and stick a little something on the outside. We need some men of God to handle that word that's able to take that word and shape us into the house of the living God. But where did this man get this design? The blueprint, as we'd say. Where did this design come from? Since they did not understand geometry. Since they did not understand pi. Since they did not understand many of these principles at this time of civilization. Where did this man come from with these understandings? Notice this. The Great Pyramid has been called the Bible in stone because its passageways and chambers reveal geometrically in line and symbol the profound spiritual truths of the plan of salvation. Silent geometry reveals a remarkable witness. The slope of the walls of the pyramid being the same slope of the curvature of the earth. And Enoch was not part of the shuttle crew. They had no shuttles. So how was he able to get outside the earth and look at that and measure that degree? Well, he didn't need to. He just took the main designer's word for it. Lord. Notice this now. On the inside. Your brother's got the picture ready. And the way that this thing is made. Now there's many different angles and pictures and drawings, of course, that you're able to get on the internet in different places as far as studying it. But I want you to look that down on the very bottom of this thing. Down underneath the pyramid. A place there called the pit. Glory to God. If I don't have a spell, I ain't going to understand why. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Then there is an ascending passage. Now notice how it's coming up. Down in the pit. Then there is what is called the ascending passage. Now notice coming up from out of the pit. Before you get to the king's chamber, there is another little smaller chamber there called the queen's chamber. Now remember, this is the Bible in stone. Hallelujah to God. So you come up out of the pit. Now notice, this is our Lord's descent. This is not our Lord's burying place. This is our Lord's conquering memorial. Hallelujah. They won't need to embalm his body. They won't need to bury him in there. It has withstood the flood. It withstood Napoleon's conquest of Egypt. It withstood Alexander, Ptolemy. It withstood other. Why? Because God purposed it so. I want you to notice these little half marks as they come out through. They're passageways, little tiny passageways. And look at where they wind up aiming to. You got two that goes from the Queen's Chamber, hitting the star Sirius, and Kohab from the King's Chamber, Orion's Belt, Alpha Draco. Now look at the lights, a sheer from the Queen's Chamber. Lights from the stars. Little tiny passageways, so small that a man cannot crawl through it, that they have to send a remote controlled robot to be able to go down through there to see it. And when they got down in and turned and look out to the night sky, there it is. Now watch, this second Bible then, testifying back to the first. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now watch this grand gallery. This is the long passageway. Now watch, we're going up. The ascending passage, and then it goes up into a spot that gets wider and taller. Called the Grand Gallery. The Grand Gallery terminates at a great step beyond which a level floor under a low passageway takes one to the antechamber of the King's Chamber. Now watch, when you come up out of the Grand Gallery, see this little thing as it comes up and flattens up? Now it gets very small. Moves out of the gigantic Grand Gallery, which is very, very tall, 20-some feet or something like that. And then it goes down to 42 inches. Why? You're approaching the king. I'm afraid a lot of us are still in the Grand Gallery. Boy, I'm a big shot. You're going to get to the king, big shot. You better get down on your knees. We'll never be able to approach the king with a Grand Gallery attitude. Come on, church. Amen. Notice how God writes the very mystery of redemption. Who's found in here? The king and the queen. Now what's amazing is you come into this little small section before you come into the king's gallery. This is called Enoch's Circle. Enoch's circle. A Hebrew.
Yeah. Hebrew.
A Hebrew. And a piece of Egyptian artwork? I don't think so.
No.
Enoch's circle. The antechamber is 10 foot long, but 42 inches wide by 12 feet tall. Now notice how it opens up into this section here. before you go into the king's chamber. Enoch's circle measures 365.25 inches. Genesis 5:23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. The dimensions of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle match the exact same dimensions of the king's chamber in the Great Pyramid. Is anybody seeing daylight? Glory to God. Before there was a Moses, before there was a temple, the mischievous wrote right here. Don't you see, friend, God pointing to your destiny? You're not earthbound. You're not of this world. You're pointing to the stars where you came from. Lord Jesus. The dimensions of the Holy of Holies matching the king's chamber, the interior capacity of the coffer on the inside of the king's chamber matches the identical measurements of the Ark of the Covenant. Lord Jesus. Looking at the dimensions of the king's chamber and the dimensions of the sarcophagus within, in terms of regular inches, reveals evidence of the encoding of advanced information, including circle sphere geometry, the use of 360 degrees of arc on a complete circumference, the math constants of pi, and of radon, the use of base 10, the precession cycle of Earth in years, the speed of light. Glory to God. Now I know this is Greek to most of you. It's Greek to me. I'm just reading it. I think, Lord, if it's this good and I don't even understand it, what would it be if I understood it? Boy, it would be good. Notice now, for all these people, can you imagine for these people who understand what all these words mean? I mean, you're just sitting there nodding at me and acting like you know what I'm talking about. But can you imagine for these people who understand what all this means and they go in there and measure all this and they think, where did all this come from? How did this all get here? No wonder they get overwhelmed. The cycle of the earth in years, the speed of light in the earth's atmosphere in terms of miles per second, and the square root of 5 as the tangent of said light speed. The Great Pyramid was constructed of granite overlaid with 144,000 white limestone slabs. Glory to God. Oh, I got up early this morning and studied, and Carol hollered at me up in the morning and said, hey, how you doing? I went up and spoke to her and I said, I've been about to have a spell. I've been about to have a spell. This is what I was looking at. 144,000 slabs on the outside of that pyramid. Hallelujah! Why? Because it is God's mystery of redemption. It's me, it's you. Lord Jesus. Listen to this. The Great Pyramid constructed with granite overlaid with 144,000 white limestone slabs cut to optical precision. The joints are consistently 1/50th of an inch. And you builder brothers want to compare to this. Do you understand that our modern builders, technology, all that we have, we could not rebuild this? Of course not. There's no way we can build this. There's no way we can do this. But if the same one who designed this can get in here, can't he live it out? Oh, glory to God. Lord God, cannot the same one live it out? Cannot he do it, Brother Dale, in such precise way that only God could be the designer of such a thing? And his bride will not be within 1/50th of an inch. She will be the absolute image of him. But I'm telling you, we cannot reproduce this. You cannot live this. You cannot make this. You say, how am I going to do it? Then turn, let go and let God. Do you understand how big that is? 1/50th of an inch. 5 pages of your Bible. So take 5 pages of your Bible and hold it up. There you go. GRACEFAITH. You mean them stones? Arthetic. Friends, this is prophecy. Oh, you said, ain't nobody living that. Don't you never believe that. There ain't going to be no bride. Don't you never believe that. This has stood as a symbol for thousands of years. A memorial. Hallelujah. That God says there will be a people. There will be a people. The cement was probably used as a lubricant to slide the blocks into position. None of these highly polished stones weighed less than a ton. Topping the church of all ages, as Brother Bram said, it's got to be honed in that pyramid. And you can take a razor blade and you can't run between them rocks where the mortar was. It's so fitly put together, he said. Spoken words, original seed. Don't you understand what this is showing? God's building and making a body and also a union between him and the bride? Amen. Notice the great pyramid was God's absolute that would preserve a wealth of knowledge for the generations born after the flood. For instance, the constant pie, which more than 1,000 years after the flood, the Egyptians did not know. It reveals the shape of the earth, its size, and distance from the sun, and that the poles were flattened. Who but God would know such things? Can't you see why they thought it was aliens? Can't you see why scientists and people who don't want to acknowledge God, they look at it and said, it had to be aliens from outside the earth looking at all of it, and they flew down here in a spaceship and told them, well, I can sort of go along with that. But it wasn't space, it wasn't spaceships, it was traveling like a thought, you know? Lord, children, it ain't no wonder this man was able to walk with God and walk out of this world. Look at what the man saw. Look at what God revealed to the man, the whole mystery of redemption. No wonder he got to a place he couldn't take it no more. He just got to a place. He said, Lord, I can't stand this. I can't take it. God said, well, just come on home. You like the last stone, Enoch. Come on home. I'd like to have been sitting in his study. Just sitting there praying. And all of a sudden, his directions come. This geometry, this pie, this circumference of the earth, the poles being flat. He's like, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Write it down and get up and just walk around. Oh, Adonai Elohim. Mighty God, mighty God. Go back and write it down a little bit more. Write it down more. Say, put a queen's chamber down beneath that. Put a pit. Cause I'll go down to the pit. And then I'll ascend up the ascending passageway. And I'll go through and I'll get my queen. And all of this 2,000 years of church ages, I'll work my way up to the king's chamber. And at the seventh day, I'll have a messenger there that'll introduce the people to me. None of the latter pyramids reveal such perfection of mathematical and architectural skills as the Great Pyramid. So then after the original, there was churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, churches, brides, brides. Brides. but none of them contained the mystery. They were reproductions, and there's something to look at. I've been there. I've seen them. I've seen the Step Pyramid. I've seen different pyramids. Been to Mexico and seen some of the ones there, but I've also seen the Great Pyramid. I'm not downplaying to say some of the Baptists won't be saved, the Methodists, some of the message folks, all that sort of thing, that's up to God. But I know one thing, there's only one that'll ever fit into this, and this is God's own design. Who would want a cheap mimic when we can be in the Great Pyramid? Lord Jesus. Brother Bram said just before the antediluvian destruction, the flood time, they had a greater civilization than we have today. Now, I believe they had control of atomic power. I think that's the way they shook the world from its orbit. And we're told to know the world stood upright. But they had such mechanical and such science so they could build a pyramid, sphinx, and so forth, and we couldn't reproduce it today. Now, this is not just a quote from Brother Bannon, but science tells us the same, which we imagine is hard for them to admit to. We have no machinery to lift those blocks that far, lest it would be atomic. Now you imagine Enoch down there working with atomic power. However it was that he done it. So it wasn't hard for him to believe God could change his atoms. Whatever they done, I mean, however they went about doing it, and the release of atomic power, and they'd be able to cut them stones with laser precision. And he'd say, the God that can give me this understanding of this dividing an atom and lifting these blocks, surely that God can change me. If the God can write this up here, can't that God change you? Yeah. If God left this for a memorial, and God, you know, doing all the things that he did in the mountains, and yet it was built, it withstood the flood, it withstood the fire, it's withstood burglars, it's withstood all kinds of things. Don't you understand it's a symbol of the church? Even in a flood upon the earth, the antediluvian destruction could not destroy the pyramid. God had a witness in the heavens, the stars. The first Bible withstood the flood. God had an earthly witness sitting in the land of Egypt, which was where the original Garden of Eden was. So God had a witness. Saying, I will restore, saith the Lord. Lord Jesus. Notice 144,000 casing stones, highly polished and flat to an accuracy of 1/100 of an inch. About 100 inches thick. And weighing about 15 tons. Each nearly perfect right angles. For all 6 sides. Computer calculations indicate 40,745 casing stones were used. Averaging 40 tons each. Before the face angle was cut. The number 144 comes up. Also in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, the height of the wall in the new city. Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? It's by inspiration this man moved and he worked, and thousands of workers. Under this man as they were bringing together the structural vision of prophecy. And building every part and being honed to this day to where our engineers and all of the people of this great day with their great intelligence cannot to this day figure out how they done it. And we got everything made. And the Spirit of God said, don't cap it. Leave the headstone, the stone of scone, over to one side. By that Enoch knew, when the king come, he would be rejected.
Lord God. Brother Bram says in the Easter seal, the headstone was never put on the pyramid. It's an open top. If you've ever been there, by the grace of God, I have, he said. There's no top on the pyramid. What is it? Enoch built it before the flood. It was a memorial. That's the reason it's never destroyed during the time of the flood. There's nothing destroyed it. Because it's a memorial. Now if you notice, way down on the bottom it's wide. Then it shapes up a little more in the minority. And then a little more as it goes to the headstone. That's the Lutheran age. Justification of the church. Sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But as it shapes toward the top, it continues from the Lutheran age to the Wesley age. Amen. To Pentecostal age. But after it leaves the Pentecostal age, it shapes up until it has to get to a place till those stones are so honed till a razor blade. Can't you see why the preaching in this day frame will hone us so fine? It will be so close. Oh my. Now that's what God is doing to his church. He's honing off his people. And making it in such a perfect way that when the headstone Christ comes, it fits the building together. And then a resurrection of the whole thing. Can't you see why the headstone must cap off our lives as individuals? And why the headstone must cap off this age? Enoch's headstone will finally arrive. And when the headstone comes and sets down, not the stone of scone, but Jesus himself. When he sets down on that bride and then the finale of his work. Amen. Glory, what is that coming? Rapturing, body-changing time. Then it will cause the resurrection. The charge from the headstone will charge down through Luther, down through Wesley, down through Pentecost. Lord Jesus. Notice he said when Christ, the headstone Christ comes, it fits the building together, then a resurrection, the whole thing, the church has gone up. Again, in blasphemous names, and Enoch completed in his day, or back in that day, the pyramid. Of course, we haven't got time to background it, show you how the pyramid come up to the chambers and so forth. It speaks right straight to the end time now. They're in the king's chamber now, by the measurement. But the headstone never was put on the pyramid. That sets perfectly architecturally or masonry until even a thin razor blade. They don't know how they ever built it. Don't understand, could even a razor blade slice among them sides where the mortar should be. I love this. And there's no mortar in it. So listen to this. That's when it is when Christ and the church becomes one. There's no mortar between. Oh, glory to God. Mortar was not used in the pyramid to hold rock to rock to rock to rock. Then that would have given element for something human made. But God said, don't do it, Enoch. Just use the mortar to kind of make it greasy, that's all. Make it where them big old rocks will slide around. I don't need no mortar, Enoch. I'm going to so attach myself to my people, it'll be Christ in them, the hope of glory. Look, friend, God don't want you and then Christ and then a preacher sandwiched in between this mortar. Or your mama or your daddy or even a prophet. God wants you and him so together. Lord have mercy. I wonder how many people in the days of this man, when they started looking at this design, when there had never been a structure built quite this shape. I said, where'd you come up with that? That is the weirdest building I've ever seen in my life. We don't build buildings like that around here. Well, you may not, but I am. It wasn't even sensible. In the desert. With the winds blowing the way they do. With all the things where the armies stick out right in the middle of the desert like a sore thumb.
Everybody coming through will see it.
Right.
Now you're seeing daylight. Why didn't he invert the thing and turn it upside down and bury it where nobody would see it? Ye, hallelujah, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. God don't want you inverted in Laodicea and not stand up for what's right and true.
Lord Jesus. Notice this. God, Christ, and the person. Again, the capstone that goes upon the pyramid. It was rejected, never put on the pyramid. Isn't till this day. The stone of scone, they claim. But it never was put on the capstone. Why? Enoch and them in the early days built the pyramid down in Egypt. We find out in there they knew that the cornerstone, the capstone, would be rejected. So prophetically, he comes right up, builds, and years and years and years and years, and comes to the final thing. God says, don't. That's the mystery of the end time. Don't write it, you know. Just leave it over here. Glory to God. Remember the dream when Brother Branham took a crowbar of the thing and went there and whipped the top off of the pyramid-shaped mountain and said, look down inside here. Look down inside your wall. There's a white rock that had never been looked on before. Stay here while I go west and come back. Oh, glory. I'm glad he went west and come back. What'd he come back with? The understanding of what them white rock was, because they're still looking at one another, didn't understand it. We didn't either. Glory. That's the way God has brought his church from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now the ministry of the Spirit, which is what quickens the word. That ministry in the church will have to be exactly like his. So the second Bible, and there it reaches its apex at the very top. And they said, Master Stonemason, we're ready to cap it off. He said, don't cap it. What? I thought this is our crowning achievement. This is the day we wait for. We've been building this thing for years. Don't cap it. What are we supposed to do with this? God said, don't cap it. Leave the cap sitting over here. Somewhere it'll wind up in time. Britain will end up with it in France and this and that and the other. But it'll come back. It'll come back. When they say, lo, he's in the desert. Don't believe it. Lo, he's over here. Don't believe it. For as the lightning shineth out of the east and cometh into the west. Isn't it amazing? That's the way Jesus said his coming would be. It's backwards. A lot of the message, folks are looking to the west. Jesus didn't say look to the west. He said as the lightning cometh from the east and goes to the west, not vice versa. Come on, children. I don't know about you. I'm looking for that headstone. Glory, it's the same one that Daniel saw, a stone not made with hands. Hallelujah. Watch this now, Feast of the Trumpets. Like the pyramid, how it comes in the minority all the time, great wide, from Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the capstone, the top is so honed, each one of those stones are so perfectly put together. We don't know yet how they did it, but it's so perfectly put together in that pyramid. We're not a pyramid teaching now. Enoch and them built it years ago. And it stands for a symbol. Just the same as the sun rises and sets. Just the same. Amen. As a tree drops its leaf and comes back again. As the fish and the cattle. Everything symbolizes it. The pyramid stands as a symbol. Go into the prophet's chamber. Prophet's chamber. Enoch's circle. Isn't it amazing? For all these years, I've been waiting for another prophet. Glory to God. As far as we know, Not a prophet has stood in that prophet's chamber since Enoch walked out of there the last time. Thousands of years ago. Now, Enoch naturally. You understand what I'm saying? So here he's right at the very top. He's right near the king's chamber, walking in there. You imagine as they finish everything and they start backing out. They back out from the king's chamber and work their way out, finishing everything. Whatever higher good things need to go here or go there, or do this, that, or the other. And Enoch backs out of Enoch's circle. Enoch backs out of Enoch's circle. And he goes to measuring it around 365.25. Well, that lets me know how long I'm going to live. Oh, glory to God. I see my life. I see my life right here. Do you see yours? Do you imagine as he turned and got to that door and turns around the last time. And he looks around into eternity. Because the circle, of course, represents eternity. And he just kind of spun around and said, I'll see you again one day. And he starts down, descending, down the grand gallery, going out the descending passageway. And he closes and goes out for the last time and seals the mystery of God. Elijah was a great man. But Elijah never had the ministry to walk up in the seven steps of the prophet's chamber and introduce the people of his day to the seven seals. Paul was a great man, but God never allowed Paul to go up the descending chamber, up into the great hall, and stop at the prophet's chamber. Peter was a great man. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, you understand what I'm saying? But God was building, 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 moving, 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 and he started out a man in the last day under the administration of Malachi 4. He starts out real wide at the bottom, 50s, 60s, reaching out to everybody. But as he keeps going, it keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower. Why? The mystery of the pyramid is wrote in his own life. Finally, he arrives to that spot to where he says, my mission to the earth is to forerun that coming word. I'm not he's come to tell you. He is coming. He is coming. He is here. So once again, we have one in the prophet's chamber. Going to the prophet's chamber. Is that an invitation? Huh? Brother Bam says, go into the prophet's chamber. So apparently that means I have permission to go. Right? If I come to your house and you say, Brother Donnie, go in the kitchen, anything you want, Little Debbie's in there, Pepsi, Snickers, roast beef sandwich, anything you want, go in and get it. Well, I ain't going to understand you if I go in and get it and you get madder than a hornet. If you don't want me to get it, don't tell me to go get it. Well, Brother Bam says, go into the prophet's chamber. I believe I will. Go into the prophet's chamber and watch them seven steps. Where did the guard meet the challenge to bring the comer into the presence of the king? At the top of the steps. Was in the seventh step. Now watch how steps are built for you brothers that are carpenters and you take and build the stringer and cut it all out. One step leads into the other. Right? So you step like this, and then it comes up, and then it leads to that one, and leads to that one, and leads to that one, and they're all tied together to make steps, right? They go up your house, up your staircase, whatever more. So they tie one into the other. You don't have each one hanging there suspended, and you're going around on swings and fishing line and trying to, but they're actually tied in. So Paul's message tied into the second age, second into the third, third into the fourth, fourth into the fifth, fifth into the sixth, and then you come to the seventh when you arrive, and I hope you understand, we have arrived. And what was it? We were bidden or we're dead. If we are not bidden, we are dead. But the king, amen, from the king's chamber has invited us. Come into the prophet's chamber. Then we arrive at the seventh step. There shows we've got to come again with that same spirit that was on John.
He introduced the Messiah. He was greater than all the prophets. He introduced it. And we've come to a place again to something that's going to introduce the Messiah. Needless to say, a lot of folks around the message got in the prophet's chamber and they set up housekeeping. They got the bed, the table, they got everything set. Now they don't want to go no farther. Of course, I ain't talking about the bride. Because the bride don't want to stop at the prophet's chamber. She wants to go into the king's chamber. I love the prophet. I thank God for him. I give him respect. But he ain't the one I'm going to marry, friend. He ain't the one that created me. Brother Branham is not the designer of this structure. I want to marry the man who made this. Glory! I want to be a part of the man who made this. Let me see if I can find a place to close. Here Enoch builds the entire mystery of God. And God says, Enoch, include in this program their destiny, their origination, and give them a little preview of their future home. Watch this. Brother Branham been laying out now about their future home. And of course, most of us up till this time in 1964 looking for heaven to be basically built as a cube or a rectangle. But all of a sudden, something strikes the prophet and never preached it before. Of course, it's no wonder. He's standing on the seventh step. He himself has now progressed and grown and has moved and moved. And now he's at the seventh step and looking back and said, my Lord, I'm on a pyramid. This ain't a box. This ain't a rectangle. This is a pyramid. The breadth, the height are the same. That would make it 1,500 miles this way, this way. 1,500 miles the length by the breadth or by the height. Think of it, transparent gold. The city had a wall about it. Now that doesn't mean necessarily mean by being equal. If the walls, the foundation are equal, doesn't necessarily mean that it's a cube or a square. There is another geographical measure, which of course sets at the center of the earth and divides the earth into four quarters. And how John saw the New Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. Reckon where it'll be, I can pretty well tell you. The apex will be right exactly where the Great Pyramid is today. Center of the earth. That's what he wants to be in your life. He don't want to be over here on the side, up here in the north and way. He wants to be the center of everything that we are. Oh God. He wants to be the center of everything that we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the dimensions are the same. That is a pyramid. Four square life, four square, and the walls are the same. This being this way would answer exactly Enoch's sign in Egypt. The pyramid, would it? Enoch, before the antediluvian destruction, when justification was coming in, brought forth a sign. And in this pyramid is seven steps going to the king's chamber. What's on that seventh step if you ever studied the dimensions of the pyramid? What comes out to take the oncomer to introduce to the king? Now notice how Brother Mem identifies himself. He's not the king. He's to introduce you to the king. Watch that station that is standing there and you'll see the day you're living in the pyramid. So I want to find myself. I want to see what day I'm living in the pyramid. As Jesus said, no man can take salt and add one cubit to his stature. That's not necessarily the measurement on a wall, but that's length of age. Length of age, prolonging age, or span of time. So I want to find where I'm at. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go too far forward. I want to find where I'm at. You understand? Now watch again, a future home. God made three Bibles. There's a pyramid teaching this nonsense, but there's a genuine pyramid, see? Now God, he made three. He had to have everything in three. Jesus comes three times. Come once to redeem his bride. Next time to get his bride. Next time with his bride. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my. Did you understand what all three of them comings was about? Bride, bride, bride. First coming, redeem his bride. Second time, get his bride. Third time, with his bride. It sounds like to me, I mean, you're on his heart big time. Oh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are identified in all three comings of Jesus Christ. beautiful in this pyramid with seven steps, the king's chamber. And we're in the seventh church age before the king takes his throne. And in the earth's time of purifying by its baptism of fire, there will be volcanics such as the earth exploding and will push up a pyramid-like mountain. There'd be plenty of room to do it because the whole thing will be changed. The whole surface will be changed. You got it? It'll push up a pyramid-like mountain. So from the center of the earth will come up by volcanic action, will come up a pyramid-like mountain. And then John saw the new city, the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. What is it? It's the capstone, which is also shaped like a pyramid. And it will come down and set on the mountain. Oh, Lord, children, don't you understand? He's doing the same thing with the new city, what he did for you. The new city comes down like this. The earth is churning and churning and volcanoes and are belching and belching. And it'll push and push and push and push up a gigantic mountain. But it'll be without a headstone. And then John looked and he said, I know I saw a new heavens and a new earth. And I saw the new city, the new Jerusalem, sending from God out of heaven as a bride going for a husband. And here comes the headstone. Can you imagine a 1,500 mile headstone? But don't worry, the same God who builds pyramids knows how to lower headstones. He knows how to pick rocks up. He knows how to let them down. He knows how to build big things. He knows how to do all that. Oh, Lord. And John saw that headstone coming right down and just settle right down on the earth. Heaven and earth embrace. And they are eternally sealed together. Lord Jesus. And the new city and the new earth, the new creation. The city on the hill with the throne on the top of it. Brother Bam draws the illustration. And the wall that's all around had 12 foundations, and each one of them had the breaststone that was in Aaron, which represented the 12 tribes. And then the gates. Four gates said exactly the temple in the wilderness, like the tent in the wilderness. Each one had apostles, three on each side. 12 apostles, 144 cubits. Exactly 216 feet, making each one of those big stones almost 20 foot tall. The breastplate in that gate. The breastplate in the gate. You knock. The stonemason. William Branham, a stonemason. Let me bring it on down. Donnie Reagan. A stonemason. These other God called men, stonemasons. We don't want a guy that just go down to Lowe's and buy some stick-on stuff. We want the real stuff. Whatever it takes to cut me and shape me. Listen here, friend. If they would have put the stuck-on stuff in the, on this pyramid over there, it'd have never withstood the flood. Neither would the church of the living God. But she's withstood the test of time. Will you? Stand together. Lord Jesus. You know, it's amazing when you look at all these things and hitting in the circumference and the measurements and the geometry of this. It's actually the formula of power square. You take the circumference of the earth and the circumference of the sun and the circumference of the moon, and you go to laying all them out in the circle inside the square, and you find that these dimensions are an exact parallel. And now we, of course, know how this is by all these different types of equipment they have to measure it. But how did Enoch come up with that? The designer himself. This is why we can have confidence in his way. People say, it's too hard, it's too difficult. No, he knows how to build a church.
A pyramid had never been built before on the earth. But God knew how to build it. But what if Enoch would have bucked him? Now, this ain't going to work, God. I'm telling you, I've been to every builder in Egypt. I've been to every builder in Babylon. None of them will say this thing will ever work. But he trusted God. Now, Noah built an ark. An ark was suitable for animals. But Enoch built the Word out of stone, which was fitting for who? King, queen, and the 144,000. And then once it settles down on the earth, then all the inhabitants, the kings, will be included. Where? Not in the headstone, because they weren't in the headstone in life. They'll be included on the rest of the mountain there down. Now from under the throne will come the river of life. And it'll trickle down in your backyard. And if I live below you or whoever lives below you, it'll trickle down, down, down. Sort of like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar had married a woman from an area that had a lot of forest country. And she so missed her home that she just couldn't get over her home. So you know what he done? He had his architects to build her one of the ancient seven wonders of the world. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That was built for a wife that missed her home. Isn't it amazing? He loves you so much. He don't want to take you off in heaven and leave you up there in wispy white clouds and the zeal blue and all that sort of thing. He said, no, I know her. Her body's from the earth. She'll want to go back to the earth. So the earth starts belching. Pushing out. Higher than the Himalayas. Bigger than the Appalachians. But with no gap. But the chief designer made it just exactly where it cap off 1,500 miles across. Straighter than any laser could ever shoot it. And then he'll lose his power. And all of a sudden, this city, which will weigh billions and billions and billions of tons. Can you imagine all the gold, the silver, all the metals? That's going to come out of heaven on some kind of elevator or some kind of... Hallelujah. The chief designer. And he'll let her float right down. And there stands the bride. Gently, Lord, gently. You know how women are about moving furniture. You know, gently. There it'll come. Like a feather. Just... Base of your city. Here we are standing suspended as we watch it. Just lands right down. And he says, it's done, children. Come on in. Lord God. Now I've done to the earth what I did to you. I took you from the devil. And I sealed you. I took the earth from the devil. And now I've sealed it. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, we just don't know what to say. We just get so overwhelmed. Help us, Lord. Don't let one of us be missing, Lord. May we not resent honing, shaping. It's hard on our old flesh. We don't like it. We don't enjoy it. Hone me, Lord. Cut me, shape me. So I can fit. I admit, I need the touch of a master mason. I've got things about me, Lord, that are so human part that need to be shaped and cut. Mold me, Lord. Hone me that I can fit into the headstone. And Lord God, if there's one here today that doesn't know you in peace, may you speak to their hearts.
Hallelujah. Your prophet told us in 1962, end time evangelism was taking the stones and shaping them into sons of God. He said confessions were stones, but he said many people then don't want to be shaped, which is the attitude of many message folks. I believe the message. I believe this. I believe. That ain't what makes them mad. And what makes them mad is when the word goes to really shaping them and cutting them. What good's a pile of rocks? I don't want a pile of rocks, Lord. You don't want a pile of rocks. You want us cut. And we'll be more precise than the pyramid. 1/100 of an inch, 1/50 of an inch. Oh no, that'll never work in this. It'll be the most perfect building that has ever been built. And we know you'll do it. Help us, Lord Jesus. We love you today, Father. Oh, I love it when you do this to us. I love it when you just unveil yourself and you stand before us and we just look at you and we're just awestruck. That must have been what that little eagle felt like that day in the barnyard when his mama was suspended above him and he was awestruck by what he saw. Just overwhelmed, just overpowered, overjoyed, overfilled. Oh my, I love it when you do that to us. When you just get above us and you show us your greatness and you show us a little bit of what you are. And we just stand and behold you and we don't know what to say. We don't know how to even worship you. We don't even know how to respond back. We just stand there with our mouths open as it were. Oh Jesus, thank you Father. We love you Lord God. Thank you Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands now before we go? In the presence of this great King. Surely, friends, a God who is so meticulous in His great work. If He's watched down through the ages over such things, surely He can take care of me and you. If He knows when a robin falls to the ground and every little bird today, every little thing of nature, He knows how to provide. When the hinds will calve in the winter, when the hoarfrost will come across the trees. If He loves that so much, how about me and you? How much more does He love us? Oh, if He could only just convince us of it, where we could trust Him and just let go of what we are. Trust our emotions, our motives, our objectives, everything to Him. Just be like a little child today who's fixing to go out in the cold and you need to put a coat on and you struggle and you struggle because you're convinced you can do it yourself. Leah, this morning, one of Erica's little girls, our car seat, the car seat sitting in our car, it's very hard for them to buckle it, but they're at that age that they can do anything and everything, or they think they can anyway. But she wrestled with it and wrestled with it this morning and she said, Poppy, I can't buckle myself in. I thought, yeah. It took a lot for her to admit that. Because she thinks she can. It's the way with us, brothers and gentlemen. We can come to the spot. I cannot reproduce this pyramid. Can we say that? I cannot reproduce. I cannot live. I cannot do it myself. I need help. Buckle me in, Lord. Live your life out of me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And it won't be me, no way. It'll be you living your life out of me. Hey, can you sing that for us? How much more? You love Him today? You enjoyed the word? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
If He knows.
Let's just worship Him now a little before we go.
When a robin falls from his nest and he grieves when he sees it die. If he kisses the rose with the more does he love you and I? If he cares for the lily in an open field and caresses
yes, Lord God.
Each petal with dew.
Hallelujah.
He acknowledges
amen.
A tree
amen.
When the winds make it near.
Yes, Lord.
How much more does he love me and you?
Everybody now. Amen.
How much more than a fragrant rose that he gives life in the spring?
Oh, Lord God.
And does he love me less than
yes, Lord God.
Calm an angry wind. Peace,
be still.
Can calm a rolling sea. Then he can speak. Peace, be still. To every storm within. That's how
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How beautiful heaven must be. Let's sing it together as we prepare to go.
We reap of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's Bible, first, second, and third, they are written of you. Heaven must be, oh, how beautiful. Heaven.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Of the happy and free. Heaven of rest for the weary. Heaven must be.
We'd like to have special prayer today. Carol's sister Sharon has been diagnosed, as many of you know. We've been praying for with breast cancer and been giving her therapy, treatments, chemotherapy and things like that. They had to stop it this week because of something affecting her heart. And her heart function has decreased greatly. And they're really concerned. The doctors are not going to give her any more treatments until they can be able to find out what's going on with her. You know what? Our God
that we've heard about this morning. That's not too great for him. You believe that? Let's take it before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Carol stands here today, I know, Lord, this has weighed heavy on her heart and mine. And Lord, many of these people don't know Sharon, but yet, as part of the same family, we can feel for those that we've never even met in the flesh. Even for those that, Lord Jesus, we don't even know them by name or by face. But your love is a universal love. It goes beyond race, creeds, political parties, nationalities. Lord Jesus, we pray for Sharon today. Father, probably right now streaming the service because she's so weak. She's unable to go to church. Lord, I pray the presence of God would move right down where she's at, Lord. Sitting there with her laptop in her lap or sitting on a table somewhere. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would just touch her now, Lord. Heavenly Father, you see what's going on with her, Lord, and I ask you, dear God, that you would touch her. Oh, great designer of the pyramids, great designer of the church, the heavens, the earth. Father, may you move for her. Lord, this didn't come by surprise to you, Lord. I pray that you'd help her, Lord God. Touch her, Father. Make her well. We believe in you for a complete recovery of all this, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. How beautiful this
sweet home mother happy and free. A heaven of rest for
be.